Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2009. A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, "Shout with joy for Jacob, exult at the head of the nations. Proclaim your praise and say, 'The Lord has delivered his people, the remnant of Israel.' Behold, I will bring them back from the land of the north. I will gather them from the ends of the world, with the blind and the lame in their midst, the mothers and those with child. They shall return as an immense throng. They departed in tears, but I will console them and guide them. I will lead them to the brooks of water, on the level road, so that none shall stumble. For I am a father to Israel. Ephraim is my firstborn son." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy.
The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy.
When the Lord brought back the captives of Zion, we were like men dreaming. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with rejoicing.
The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy.
Then they said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad indeed.
The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy.
Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the torrents in the southern desert. Those that sow in tears shall reap rejoicing.
The Lord has done great things with us. We are filled with joy.
Although they go forth weeping, carrying the seed to be sown, they shall come back rejoicing, carrying their sheaves.
The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, every high priest is taken from among men and made their representative before God to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal patiently with the ignorant and erring, for he himself is beset by weakness, and so, for this reason, must make a sin offering for himself as well as for the people. No one takes this honor upon himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. In the same way, it was not Christ who glorified himself in becoming high priest, but rather the one who said to him, "You are my son, this day I have begotten you," just as he says in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. As Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a sizable crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind man, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have pity on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he kept calling out all the more, "Son of David, have pity on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, get up, Jesus is calling you." He threw aside his cloak, sprang up, and came to Jesus. Jesus said to him in reply, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man replied to him, "Master, I want to see." Jesus told him, "Go your way, your faith has saved you." Immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Father Brian and I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everyone.
And although we're not in the studio together today, we will be seeing each other tonight at a meeting for the diocese for NCYC tonight. So that's kind of exciting, Dawn.
I know, we're both going. We'll meet up in Kansas City in a few weeks. Yep. Maybe some of our listeners would be going too.
That would be great to see some of our listeners there. And I'm sure maybe one or two might be making the trip. I don't know.
Never know.
Of course, Dawn, I know that you're mourning the dreadful news that you received. Was it today you received this?
No, last night. I went to go to Panera's here in Canandaigua, a little, you know, it's a like a little restaurant. I can't even talk today. And I walked up to the door and it said, "We just found out we're closing. Thank you for your patronage." It was my favorite place to go for lunch or for dinner. It's closed.
And I feel for you because you and I used to go there all the time. And whenever I'm in town, I usually stop by Panera or something. And it seems to do a good business, but hey, you never know.
For some reason.
I guess.
I know. It's very sad.
Well, we have to find a way to get some faith in something, maybe to cheer us up. And maybe this gospel reading can do a little bit of that. You know, I was looking at this reading, and the first thing that came to mind is, you know, gee, if all I have to do is say, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me," and then tell him what I want, and it's done for me, that would be really nice. But as we were talking before this, Dawn, you said you've tried that, and it doesn't work.
I just want all my problems to disappear.
Have you tried it with the Panera
time?
Situation yet?
No,
I just want Panera back.
Jesus. I want instantaneous solutions to all my problems as soon as I mention that.
That's right. But one of the things that I think that comes out of this is you've got a key right there, is it's not necessarily as soon as he mentions it. I mean, in this story, it's everything happens kind of quick, I guess. But it does say that he's saying this and he's asking Jesus to have pity on him. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. So he's sitting here persistent in his prayer, and everybody else is telling him to, you know, shut up, you know, stop it. We're tired of hearing you. Go do something else. You know, stop it with this Jesus stuff. And maybe we'd hear that in our world today, and maybe in terms like that, you know, stop it being a Jesus freak, or, you know, you got to do more than just pray. You can't just, you know, trust God or something. You have to trust yourself, or, you know, any number of things. But what we find is this beggar here is persistent.
Right.
And it's his persistence that I think shows his faith. It shows the extent of his faith that even when other people, even people who are probably close to Jesus, because it wouldn't surprise me if the disciples were some of these people who told him to stop, because they tended to do things like that at times. and he's persistent through it all. He doesn't say, "Okay, I'll give up now." And what Jesus says to him is that your faith has saved you. And that faith, like I said, is manifested. It's shown through his persistent prayer. And I think really that's what we have to do in times of trial and struggle, even when it seems that no one's listening to us, even when it seems people are telling us to stop it, to be silent, to give all this up. We have to be persistent in our faith with Jesus if we want him to say to us, "What is it you want me to do for you?"
And that's a good point. And I think in our society today, it's extra hard to be persistent because we want everything right now. I mean, we have the fastest internet we can possibly have. We go to fast food places. I mean, we want our solutions right now instead of being persistent and really asking. And then the other thing is, sometimes, you know, I was joking before about how he doesn't answer my prayers right away, and sometimes he does. It's just not in the way that I want them to be answered. So really, so we have to keep both those things in mind.
Right. Well, the other thing, though, Dawn, about persistence is I think that we as human beings at times can tend to be kind of fickle. And we can sit here, and what seems important today might not be important tomorrow. And so that also, I think, plays in. It helps us to see what is it that we really want Jesus. I mean, if Jesus were here, you and I were joking before the podcast. I said, wouldn't it be nice if he were here and we could just, you know, if he never ascended into heaven, and then we could just walk up to him and say, "This is my list of what I want you to do for me." But the reality is we do tend to be fickle, and every day we'd have a new list of things, and some of them might not even be the right things that we should be asking for or that we really want in that sense. Sometimes, you know, we might think we want something and then, you know, a couple of years, a couple of months, whatever it is later, say, "Thank goodness I didn't get that." You know, Garth Brooks, he's a country music singer for people who haven't heard of him. But he's got a song, I believe it's Garth Brooks, and Dawn, you can correct me if I'm wrong, who is the song Unanswered Prayers. Are you familiar with that one?
I know the song. I would not have a clue if that was his song or
not. I think it's Garth Brooks, but if not, we'll pretend it is for now.
All right.
And the song is about, you know, he talks about all these things he prayed for when he was younger, and he's kind of reflecting on how thankful he is that God didn't answer those prayers. One of them that kind of struck me, it really struck a chord with me, because I can sit here and kind of say, yeah, I kind of remember doing this as a teenager. And he talks about how he went to a football game and saw this girl who he used to beg God that, you know, she would go out with me or something to that effect. And, you know, she never did. And then he's talking about how he wouldn't have met his current wife and had all the blessings of that had, you know, that relationship happened or something like that. So I think that a lot of times in the moment we can think this is what we want and this is our for our best good, when God might have something different in mind for us. And as I said, you know, it might be the wrong thing that we have in mind, and maybe only after time we can realize it. So Garth realized at the end of the song that the things he was asking for really weren't the things that were the important things in life, or they would have disrupted the God's plan for him. So it is that persistence, I think, because I think had that actually been part of God's plan, he would have been persistent in pursuing that same that relationship from when he was in high school, but clearly it was probably an infatuation or something else. And we do this not just with, you know, interpersonal relationships. You know, I sit here, you know, I want my this type of computer one day, the next day there's a new one out, and I want that one, and I want this iPod, and then that one. So we do this with all kinds of things. We do it with our material possessions. We even do it sometimes with what we think are our spiritual needs. We want to be at a certain place spiritually, and maybe that's not where we're meant to be at this point in time.
It's very true. And sometimes I was just thinking about, lately I've been sort of praying to God saying, I don't even know what I want. And maybe that's a good place to be sometimes, that instead of trying to clog or to ask for tell me, maybe it's I need to be more quiet and just be listening. And so it's not me that's setting the direction, but God. Now that sounds pretty holy. I can tell you I'm not very good at sitting quietly and listening.
Yeah.
I can sit for about 3.5 seconds and then my mind starts to, well, maybe this.
Yeah. And but I think you're right. I think that the big thing here is this whole persistence that this blind man had. And of course, you know, the faith, certainly. We have to have faith that even if things aren't going the way we want them to go. Certainly, I was sitting here at the Notre Dame game I was at last weekend, and the game did not go the way I wanted it to go, and it certainly didn't end the way I wanted it to end. But I still have faith that God is going to resurrect Notre Dame football. I mean, I still have faith that, you know, it doesn't destroy my faith in God, the fact that things in my life don't go the way I want them to go, or things that even are important to me in my life. They might depress me for a little while. It might get me upset for a little while. But certainly you have to say, I still have faith in God. And that's the most important thing that I think we have, is that faith in God.
Right.
Anyway, I'm looking, Dawn, and we are coming near the end of our podcast. I don't know if you had any final thoughts you wanted to throw in, or...
I just want to alert everybody to the fact that this is World Youth Day weekend, this 30th Sunday. And so in your parish, hopefully, you'll be seeing signs of the youth among you, that maybe they're doing a special presentation, or they might have some pictures up, or... I just encourage you to wave hi to them, even if they're just sitting in the pew next to you, and be nice to them, because, you know, there's that saying that the youth are the future of the church, and I always correct people because they're not the future. Together, we are all the current church, and we are the church, and so.
You know, Dawn, I was just going to say that same thing, and threw it in there. I was just about to say, you might often hear that they are the future of the church, but they aren't. They're part of our church today, so they're part of that faith community. So like we do with any other members of our faith community, we need to encourage one another and support one another. And I think that is a good way to end our podcast this week, is encouraging people to be persistent in their faith and persistently encourage one another in the faith. And on that note, we will end this podcast. Have a good week. God bless.